Let's be straight with the American people. It's wrong for our children and grandchildren to pay for what we're spending today. So, look, Barack Obama believes he can do this by energizing our economy. There's ways that we can cut wasteful spending in health care. And yes, in energy, what we believe we can do, we think we can become energy independent. We believe it can be done. Let me just give you one number, which I find unbelievable. And that is, if we would have enacted the CAFE standards 10 years ago, that's the increased efficiency for our cars that we enacted last year, if we would have done that 10 years ago, that would save three times the amount of oil than we could produce at the maximum of ANWR, that's the Arctic Refuge, which is so controversial, if it was at full production. So, look, we can't drill our way out of this problem. And, yes, we are going to balance the federal budget, but we're going to do it the old-fashioned way, by reining in the special issues interest, take away the special breaks we give to the oil companies. They don't need it. They're making obscene profits. Let's put that money into reducing the deficit. Let's cut the pharmaceutical costs down. Let's not pay any more than the Europeans do on that. Let's eliminate the uninsured. Senator Obama's for providing health insurance for everyone. That cuts the government costs because we pay for the uninsured through our taxes. There are ways that we can balance this federal budget, and that's what Senator Obama is going to do by taking on the special interest.
Senator Ben Cardin is our guest, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. On the way back to the phones, let me read a couple of emails that came in. Fritz writes in, "As I watched Obama's speech last Thursday, I was glad to hear him tell us that if we want to get off foreign oil, we need to take action here at home with alternative forms of energy. I'm installing solar hot water in my house in January. Can Mr. Cardin shed some light on the status of the federal tax credit for solar installations? The current incentive is 30% of the system cost, but that is due to expire on December 31st of this year."
Well, you can join me this afternoon with Ken Ullman in Howard County. We're going to be talking about that because Howard County is doing some really creative things and putting in solar panels in a former landfill in order to produce energy for a school, to make that school self-sufficient, almost self-sufficient on its electricity needs. Solar power is one of the solutions. Look, there's not one answer to the energy crisis. But solar power, we're not using as much as we should. The sun is here. Let's take advantage of it. The credit is you need the credit to make it competitive. And the federal government offers a 30% credit on the cost. And that credit is due to expire at the end of this year. Now, we've had 8 votes in the United States Senate to extend that credit. And John McCain has voted against each one of those. The Republicans have filibustered the ability to extend the solar energy tax credit and other tax credits that allow for alternative and renewable energy sources. They filibustered it. And we're right in the middle of a filibuster now that the Republicans are doing. It's critically important that we extend that solar tax credit. It would be tragic if we tell Americans that we're going to move backwards, not forwards, on more solar energy in this country. So these are steps that need to be taken. I am cautiously optimistic that we will come together because the energy crisis shouldn't be partisan. It shouldn't be partisan. Democrats and Republicans, this is a huge issue for our country. We thought we would have learned the lesson 30 years ago when we had the large gasoline gas station lines, and we didn't. We import much more oil today than we did 30 years ago. But it's time for us to wake up and say, look, for the sake of our national security, for the sake of our economy, and yes, for the sake of our environment, let's get it right this time. And solar energy is part of it, and extending the solar energy tax credit needs to be done before the end of the year.
We only have a few minutes before break. Let me try to get a call and another email in here before we go to break. Michelle in Finksburg, Maryland says, "As a mother of a special needs child, I have a hard time understanding Sarah Palin's decision to run for vice president, given the fact that she has a 5-month-old infant with Down syndrome. The emotional and physical toll is enormous. Considering the medical procedures and endless hours of therapy lie ahead, how or will the Democrats address this very delicate issue?" I'm glad you're back on the air. I don't know if the Democrats should or could address it. It seems like a very personal matter for Governor Palin to deal with.
I agree, but I think it does call into question Senator McCain's judgment in selecting Governor Palin. He indicates he went through a vetting process, but it's now becoming clear that a lot of this was unknown. and that, according to some reports, he was Senator McCain was heading towards Tom Ridge or Joe Lieberman, and changed his views in the last few days, mainly because of the pro-life influence on his decision making. So I think it does call into question how much Senator McCain vetted this nominee, and whether this was really the best person for the job in the country, in the Republican Party. And I think that's an issue that we can challenge. But I agree with your assessment. Governor Palin and her ability to handle her family, that's an issue that's for her judgment. And I don't quarrel at all with her ability to run for vice president.
Ben Cardin's our guest. We only have a couple minutes left. Let's try to get another call in here at 410-319-8888 before we turn our attention to the Republican National Convention with folks there on the ground, protesters and delegates alike, as well as reporters. And Mike, you're on the air. A very quick comment, Mike, because we're almost out of time.
Good afternoon. I have two predictions about the elections that I want you to comment on. One, either Barack Obama or John McCain will win the election in November.
Okay.
Two, afterwards there'll be more homeless and more poverty, and neither of them are going to do anything about it. That's why I support Cynthia McKinney.
I'll tell you this very quickly. Bill Clinton reduced poverty in America when he was president. He reduced the number of homeless in America when he was president. We made huge progress in advancing the middle class. Real wages went up. All the indicators were positive under Bill Clinton when he was president of the United States. So, no, I disagree with you. I believe that we will make progress under President Obama, and that we will narrow the poverty gaps in America. We will increase the middle class, and we will reduce poverty in America.
That's one of the issues that was not addressed at the Democratic Convention. I wish had been addressed was the issue of poverty. John Edwards was supposed to speak to it, but of course, you know, John Edwards has had his problems of late and could not speak, and it was a shame that no one was kind of substituted in there for him to kind of deal with the very pressing issues and growing issues of poverty in America, because actually it is not diminishing in America, it's growing in America, and we're still using the old LBJ standards even to define poverty in America, so it's a much bigger problem than most of us, most people in America realize want to accept.
And poverty has increased. There's no question under the Bush years. And we are, there are people who go to bed hungry at night. There are people, I mean, we need to deal with it.
Ben Cardin, great to see you. Good luck at your town meeting today here at Morgan State University. Love you to see
Thanks,
you
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Senator Ben Cardin has been our guest. When we come back from this very brief break, we're going to be joined by Nick Morgan and Sonia Silbert, who are demonstrating up in St. Paul, Minnesota, by Republican Delegate Ann McCarthy and WSCL News Director Don Rush from Salisbury, our sister station there, to talk to us about his reporting in Minnesota as well at the Republican Convention. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Switching gears. Talking all Republican for the rest of the show. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we switch gears here and take ourselves on a journey to St. Paul, Minneapolis, to see what's going on in the Republican National Convention. And by the way, if you go to steinershow.org, it'll link you to our website, centerforemergingmedia.org, go to steinershow.org, and you'll see all of our coverage of the Republican National Convention, commentaries by conservative thinkers like Richard Vatz. We'll be interviewing Robert Ehrlich and the Republican Congressman Wayne Gilchrist. They'll all be up there along with our other other coverage of that election, I mean of that convention. So please go there. But right now, we're going to be joined by two of the people who are protesting in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Later we'll be joined by a delegate and a reporter to talk about their observations of what's going on there. But at the moment, we have online with us Nick Morgan, who's a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. He served with the U.S. Army Reserve in Baghdad, February 04 and 05, and just moved from Annapolis to Washington, D.C. And Sonia Silbert, who is coordinator of the Washington Peace Center, was with a peace caravan and detained but not arrested at a building used as a site for planning protests. And Nick Morgan and Sonia Silbert, welcome. Good to have you both with us. Did we just lose our guests? They're not there? Okay, let's get them back. 410-319-8888, and you can join us here or write to us here at the Steiner Show at gmail.com. And we'll get your thoughts on what you've been watching in the elections. We listened to Amy Goodman this morning At least I did on the way over here to Morgan State University, to WEAA. And she was reporting on what happened with the protesters. She had a press conference with the chief of police, who was saying that what they did was root out the violent demonstrators and left the peaceful demonstrators alone. Of course, we've heard conflicting reports about that. Amy Goodman herself and her two producers were arrested by the police there. I know that the night before there was a raid on the video team that reports on the convention and more. There was a preemptive raid, they said, but with the incorrect warrants, but they took them all to jail. Over 300 people have been arrested. There have been some violent clashes, but most of the demonstrators were like they were in Denver and have been peaceful demonstrators, and it sounds like that's why we want to get to these two protesters and find out what is going on to let us know. They are back, and we have with us Sonia Silver and Nick Morgan. Nick, you both there?
Yeah.
Good, Sonia. How are you both?
Well, I'm here at least. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Great, Sonia. It's great to talk to you. Tell us what you're seeing from your perspective about the demonstrations and all the reports about police violence and demonstrator violence and the arrest of people like Amy Goodman, the preemptive raid we heard that was on the eyewitness video team that was trying to cover the convention. What are your observations?
Well, it's been pretty crazy here. I just went up to Minnesota on Friday night and went over to the Convergence space where a group called the RNC Welcoming Committee had been organizing, and this is a space that protesters could come and kind of check in, get schedules for the week. We were supposed to have workshops and meetings and trainings and spokes councils all weekend long. And I was in the corner working on my laptop planning a training I was supposed to do the next day, and which got raided by the cops. There were probably about 40 of us there, and cops came in, guns drawn, got all of us face down on the floor and handcuffed us.
Really?
Battered down some doors that were locked upstairs, apparently, and detained all of us for a few hours, searched us, searched the premises, wouldn't show us the warrant, apparently ended up showing the warrant to somebody outside after a while. And, it's pretty scary to get a gun drawn on you. You know, I grew up in New York and I live in D.C. and sure didn't think that was going to happen when I came to Minnesota.
But tell me about that. I mean, why do you think that happened? And what was the police reaction after you were kind of taken but not arrested?
They kept saying that they had a warrant for search and that they didn't really give as much explanation. You know, we kind of kept saying that we wanted to speak to a lawyer and that we wanted to see the warrant, but they didn't really give much explanation. I think basically it's fear tactics. You know, this weekend isn't just a weekend to protest the RNC and to march and try and really make a point, but it's also a movement building week. So that this weekend of workshops and trainings and, networking, this is for people in other careers, this is kind of like a conference where you really get to meet people that you've only worked with maybe over the phone or by email or read reports about. So it really disrupted that aspect of it, and it's just fear tactics all day throughout Saturday. They were just picking people up at gunpoint. I mean, I woke up the next
morning. At gunpoint?
Oh, yeah. I woke up the next morning around 9 or 10 to the reports that three houses had already been raided, including, this is the saddest part, the night before in the Convergence Center, there had been some activist parents with their 5-year-old son who was just, they were upstairs watching a movie and when the cops raided. So this poor 5-year-old, so his dad handcuffed, his mom got to sit there and hold him, so all his friends lying on the stomach handcuffed, which is a pretty frightening experience for a 5-year-old. Unfortunately, they were staying in one of the houses that got raided the next morning, so they were asleep, and cops burst in again with guns.
Not justifying this, I mean, I understand. Nick Morgan, are you with us now as well? Oh, I thought Nick's name on the screen is not there. Okay, if we can get that hook up, that'd be great. Sonia, but I'm wondering, when you say these houses were raided, were these houses of people who were, I don't know how to put this, but I'm just, because I've seen the stories in the establishment press, that there are demonstrators who are doing things peacefully and demonstrators who are doing things in a more disruptive fashion. Whose houses were these that were raided?
So the houses that were raided, I don't know all the details. There were a total of 6 houses, I think, raided on Saturday. The 3 that I heard of right when I woke up, 2 of them were from the lead organizers from the RNC Welcoming Committee, and they were the folks that were doing all the logistics and organizing for the protesters who were going to be more disruptive. But in no way was it kind of related to any purported, like, violence that people claimed happened later. They basically came in, searched the house, searched the people, and had very specific names that they were looking for. The third house was the Food Not Bombs house, where the people who are making food for us all week were staying. And they detained those people. They only arrested very certain people who were the lead local organizers from Minnesota, who they had obviously been watching for many months. These were the folks that, you know, organized the legal support, organized the medic support, organized the media support, and the food and the conference space and stuff like that.
Sonia Silbert is part of the Peace Caravan, coordinator for the Washington Peace Center there in St. Paul, Minneapolis, at the Republican National Convention. I think Nick Morgan is. Nick, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Good to have you with us. Who is a member of the Iraq Veterans Against the War and served in Baghdad in February 04 to February 05. So, Nick, tell us what your experience has been in St. Paul, Minneapolis. I met a number of the people in your group in Denver in your kind of very symbolic demonstration. So what has been your reception by the police as Iraq War Veterans Against the War?
Well, actually, with the police, we've had no problems. We have had no arrests. We had one event on Monday morning where we marched with about 70 veterans. It was a permitted march from 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning, so we were escorted by the police. We made it to the gate of where the convention was being held, and had 3 simple demands. The security at the convention allowed a former first sergeant named Wes Davey to enter the McCain campaign, and basically to enlighten McCain of the issues veterans are having today, because he seems to be running on one of his major tenets being the fact that he's a veteran and he cares, but when in fact disabled American veterans and the largest group of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, IAVA, have both rated him a D for veterans issues. So we were there to shed some light upon that, and the turnout from that was the fact that John McCain absolutely snubbed us, did not want to hear us, totally ignored us. So our next step from there is
let me interrupt. What do you mean that you were totally snubbed and ignored by Senator McCain?
Oh, pardon. The police, we've had no problems with the police. We've had entirely peaceful demonstrations with a message of nonviolence.
But you said you were snubbed by Senator McCain. What do you mean?
Oh, we were snubbed by Senator McCain in that he decided to completely ignore a group of 70 veterans here peacefully voicing our concerns.
Sonia, let me ask you a question. This is really interesting. And when later in the week, as we start our daily show this Monday at 5 o'clock, well, our first guest is Governor Martin O'Malley. We want to have the Iraq War veterans back on and talk about what their look at is at this election and what's going on with their lives as well, and more in depth. But, Sonia, I want to ask you what your perceptions are when you hear Nick say that his nonviolent demonstration had no problem with the police, and how much of this do you put at the police doorsteps and how much do you put at the demonstrators' doorsteps in terms of what's happened with the police? What do you think the differences are between what you've seen and what Nick Morgan has experienced?
Well, I was actually at the IVAW event. I was helping out with some support for that, and it was a really moving and wonderful action. And I just think that the police reaction has been totally out of line with what any protesters have done. I know that the media likes to ramp up any kind of violence or anything, but I was on the streets all day Monday, and I think I heard like a few people, maybe 5 or 10 folks who had broken windows and shoved things over and stuff like that. But in no way was that justified by the amount of riot cops and the amount of pepper spray and the amount of tear gas. And you can see that by the number of reporters, even. You know, you might not believe that there's all these demonstrators who want to do peaceful actions out there, even if it's going to be more confrontational tactics in terms of blocking folks from going in or trying to talk to delegates, but they're still using peaceful tactics. And the fact that reporters, and for instance, 2 of my friends who were arrested in the same mass arrest as Amy Goodman and the other Democracy Now! Reporters were just taking photos of all the arrests. You know, they weren't maybe accredited journalists, but they were going to take photos and put it up on their blog, which is a little bit like what the Democracy Now! Folks were going to do. And they got swept up. They basically looked like kids that they thought might do stuff like this. They got arrested Monday afternoon and have been still haven't been released. These are actually my friend Jonathan from Baltimore. And haven't been released yet. Now it's 2 days later, and they're being charged with felonies. And these are people I was with all day in a non-arrestable affinity group going and doing support and legal observation. Well, so these are kind of the reactions that we're getting from the cops, even though the violence that they're saying has happened is so far from what these arrests are.
Well, I want to say that, first of all, we did invite the St. Paul Police Department to join us, and they declined to come on the air with us today. We're going to take a break here in a minute and talk to some delegates and reporters. And Nick, I'm sorry we had a tough time getting you on the earlier, but I would like to do is invite both you, Nick Morgan, and Sonia Silbert, and your friend Jonathan and others to join us on our website to blog and to write your stories about what you've seen and heard in St. Paul, Minneapolis. And I would hope you would do that. Because we'd really like to hear more, and then we can clearly follow up more when you get back to the East Coast, Sonia and Jonathan as well. And Nick, when you get back, we'd like to hear more from you as well about what's going on with your struggles with the Iraq War, Veterans Against the War. And I want to thank both of you for taking your time this morning. Before you hang up, I think our producers know how to get in touch with you, they don't have to hang up. Hold on. But we'd really like to invite you to join us on our website to tell more of your stories if you'd like to do that.
Great. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
And good luck, and stay safe, both of you, please. And Nick, thank you for your service. Nick Morgan and Sonia Silbert. Nick, a member of the Iraq Veterans Against the War, who fought in Iraq February 04 and 05. Sonia Silbert, one of the leaders of the Peace Caravan, telling us the stories that she heard. When we come back, we'll be talking to Maryland Alternative Delegate to the RNC, Ann McCarthy. She's also a former Republican candidate for Maryland State Controller. And Don Rush, who is the WSCL News Director. I see. We're just going to have them right on. That's fine. And who's a WSCL News Director. And Don and Ann, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Mark.
Ann, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. You heard some of what our former guests were saying, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
While you were holding on, what are your thoughts about the police reaction to what's been going on in St. Paul, Minneapolis? And when you hear people like Sonia Silbert, who's a dedicated nonviolent activist who wouldn't probably pick up a fly swat to kill a fly, say that their homes have been raided and they've been arrested merely for being there.
Well, I have to say, first of all, that I shouldn't talk about hearsay and only my personal experience. I haven't seen any police violence, but I also haven't seen personally any protester violence. I've seen some protesters here and there, and they've been like, okay, most of what I see is on the television, and as I'm beginning to suspect, television or the news shows what it wants to show in order to stir up emotions. And so I don't know how widespread it is, and I don't want to talk about something that I haven't personally experienced.
Well, let's talk about what you have experienced and what you watched the Democratic Convention when you were commenting for us on our show last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're blogging for us on our site now with your thoughts about the Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your sense of the differences between these two events so far that you've seen?
Well, clearly they started out very differently because of outside, you know, because of the hurricane in the Gulf. But I'd say they're both, I mean, last night the crowd was just as excited and enthused during the talk or speeches as what I witnessed in the Democratic National Convention. While we are Republicans, and we may not be grooving the way the Democrats did, I believe you said. It's still, people are really excited and thrilled, and there's just the sense of, I mean, it's palpable, the sense of that, you know, this is a winning ticket, and they're just so on board. It's amazing. It's great.
I can
see why conventions, even though they don't serve a substantive purpose, which I have something else to say about that, is why we still do them, because they really do rally people.
They are giant pep rallies. I mean, I find myself, you know, when you watch these things, that you end up smiling whether you support one convention or not.
Yeah.
Because you just watch them, and then because they're made to entertain. But in that entertainment, Ben Cardin was talking about how he felt that the substance was kind of different, that the Republicans kind of attacking more Democrats and vice versa, but I'm not sure what you think about that.
I think both of them did a lot of attacking of the other. So, but that's what they do. And I think both of them did a lot of praising of themselves. And in fact, I think there was a shift this time from McCain attacking Obama, or in general, all Republicans attacking Obama, to praising McCain and establishing who he is as a person and why he's such a compelling choice. In fact, Senator Obama was very rarely mentioned, except indirectly, if you noticed.
What do you think about the argument that that the people that John McCain wanted to have as his vice president, leading with Tom Ridge, was his favorite candidate, were not acceptable to the powers of the Republican Party because of his pro-choice stand?
Well, I think actually Joe Lieberman was his favorite choice. That's what he really wanted. And then Tom Ridge. Well, I don't know. You know, I think that's all speculation on our part. And for all I know, he may have had Sarah Palin in the back of his mind ever since February.
I think we're also joined now by Don Rush, who is the WSCL news director. And Don, you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
A little tired.
I guess you are tired because you got no rest last week and you're getting no rest this week.
I'm afraid it's a doubleheader.
So give me your observations about this convention inside and out so far that you've seen, who you've been speaking with.
Well, the sense I get, I've been speaking both with folks from the Maryland delegation, but also the delegation from Delaware as well. And the first day, particularly, I think there was a sense that maybe a little disappointment that the convention didn't get off to a roaring start because of the storm that is Gustav, and that they made the decision, and I think everybody agreed, to go ahead and just have the formal meeting on Monday and then actually get the convention really started on Tuesday. And I think I put somewhat of a damper on being able to get out of the box. So I think in that sense, I think that there was even when I talked to people last night on the floor, they were saying to me, you know, now we're really going to get started and we're really going to, you know, do this in 3 days as opposed to four. A certain sort of guarded optimism, I think I felt in terms of getting the convention going so they could push their candidate forward and get themselves in a good position to go into the fall campaign. So I think there's a certain guarded optimism that their convention can do what it needs to do in the 3 days, and given the slow start that it certainly has gotten.
I wonder what the conversations have been in
I totally disagree.
Oh, go ahead, please. Go right ahead. Ann McCarthy, disagree away.
I think the convention started last Friday, and no one has spoken about Senator Obama's speech ever since John McCain picked Sarah Palin. And it has energized the base, and I don't think we need the convention anymore to give us that bump that actually we already got, and we're going to continue to get. So I don't find any guarded optimism. I felt that people felt very patriotic about what we did on Monday night. And now we're packing relief supply kits, and now we're doing, you know, we're text messaging and, you know, funds to the different relief funds throughout the Mississippi Gulf. I mean, I think that people, while it may not have been rah-rah and all business on Monday night, actually it kind of showed that there really is some business that goes on at these conventions, namely the adoption of the platform, which people work very hard on, and the adoption of the new rules for 2012, which people also worked very hard on, and which are very contentious because they include The rules include when states can hold their primaries. This is substantive stuff that actually went on at this convention.
And Don Rush, I know your job is reporting and not editorial journalism, but what are your thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, no, I'm certain that the delegates, I mean, the delegates, there's a certain enthusiasm and a certain, and at conventions, and it also happens for reporters as well, but at conventions, there is an atmosphere in which you get drawn in. My only observation is that I think that there was a sense that, gee, it's too bad that Gustav had come, that they anticipated really coming off the mark. And I know that with the nomination of Sarah Palin, that there was a sense that, particularly when I talked to people on Monday, that they had gotten off to a good start. Now, obviously, and we can talk about this in a bit, then there were some issues that then were raised about Palin's choice, whether it's experience and other issues. And in talking to the delegates seem still are still, as far as I can tell, fairly strongly supportive of Sarah Palin. I think she's going to do a good job. Although some of these issues obviously have raised some distractions. So from a reporter's point of view, sort of stepping back and trying to see the line here, it is true that there was a certain step on the on Obama's. Convention with the announcement, but then we had some issues with Sarah, and then we had Gustav that came in, and so from my perspective, as I look out from the outside, I think the convention did get off to a slow start, but that doesn't mean that they can't make up ground. Although I should note, I saw the Gallup poll, which showed that Obama had now hit 50%. Statistical, you know. Not as statistically significant, but more psychologically so. But it was, again, it was only about 8 points. We're not talking about a large portion here, a large lead here. So there are these mixed issues, I think, going into the convention. But we'll see. I know that Sarah Palin is supposed to speak to the convention tonight, and she'll have a much... I think bigger venue than to flesh out who she is, as opposed to the very short statement that she made when she was with McCain.
In a few minutes we have left here, I'd like to hear Anne McCarthy's thoughts on Sarah Palin and what she's been hearing at the convention.
Oh, people are thrilled, and I think she's a terrific candidate. And I'm sorry, give me a break. She's been in government for 9 years. She's actually run a budget and managed personnel. She's a governor of a state. And people are going to say she has less experience than a junior senator who's only been in the Senate for 3 years and who, while he was in the Illinois state legislature, voted present, just present, i.e., I'm here, more than he voted yes or no for a single bill. I mean, come on, you guys, get off of this.
But Anne, can I ask you a question? In all fairness, I mean, you could say, I can sit here and go down the list with either Sarah Palin or Obama, who's running for president, not vice president, and people can list all the things he did as a state legislature, years as a constitutional professor, the work he did in Chicago in the community. I think for both groups just to kind of trying to throw mud this way, it sounds absurd on either side to me.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. But for them to be throwing mud at us with their candidate, who, by the way, won't be a heartbeat away from the presidency, he is the president, will be the president, does not make sense. So if they don't want it, if they're unhappy with it being thrown their way, they should just shut up and put up.
And Don, very quick, we have, I think, about a minute and a half left here. But I'm curious, has there been any reaction to Wayne Gilchrist's coming out for Craddeville for the House against Harris in your district, and how that's affected maybe the delegation or anything you've heard there?
As a matter of fact, I talked to Jim Pallora, the state chair, last night about that, and Jim essentially said he was certainly disappointed that Gilchrist had done that. He said that the Republican Party had always been pretty supportive of Wayne, although there have been obviously some conservative challenges in the past, but certainly the leadership has been strongly supportive of him.
Don, I'm sorry, but we've run out of time here, that music tells me, and I want to thank both Don Rush and Anne McCarthy for joining us. Don, I hope you'll be a continuing guest on our show, and Anne, we look forward to having you back on as well.
Okay, have a great day, Mark.
Thank you all so much, and we'll be talking more about what's going on there. Don Rush, Anne McCarthy, Sonia Silbert, Nick Morgan, our guests. The Mark Steiner Show is produced by Jessica Phillips and Justin Levy. Engineered today by Mike Nice. Our interns are Judith Lloyd and Christina Arison. Thanks to Clean Cuts Music and Sound for a studio and office space. We go live Monday at 5 o'clock for our new daily show here on WEAA Public Radio 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner, and take care.